Chapter 42.
Scout! Corvin called. Trescinus, son of a bitch!
After Racton, Corvin and Karis had decided to travel together. Both wanted to go after King Charadul's army, if for different reasons. Karis to join it somehow, and Corvin to see if he could find some way to exact vengeance. It was a risk to trust Corvin Danavis, of all people, but he had saved Karis, and his reputation from the war was sterling. Truth was, it was more dangerous to travel alone. They'd been following King Charadul's army south for days, and not once had he put out scouts. He'd seemed so careless that now Karis and Corvin had walked right past a scout in a tree stand. As they stood at the edge of a wood, half a league behind the rear guard, the scout was sprinting to the east down a slight hill, rather than going straight for the rear guard.
"She'll have a horse down in the gully there. You might be able to cut her off," Corvin said.
He was unslinging his great yew bow.
"Shot's too far, but I might get lucky."
Karis was already running. Away from the Umber River, Tyria had rapidly become a scrub-brush desert. In a few spots fed by underground springs, there were clumps of pine trees like the one she and Corvin had just left, but for the most part this land was rolling hills, often broken, something between a desert and a badland. It had made their pursuit of King Haradul's army more and more difficult, because even though they were travelling by foot and thus didn't kick up the huge quantities of dust that Haradul's men and wagons did, they still could be seen. They had to decide at every hill whether they should go straight over and risk being seen, or go around and lose even more ground. An army didn't travel fast, but it did travel straight. The scout was a good 200 paces in front of Karis, judging from the slight slope of the hill, and making a guess, Karis angled off to the right. Probably the scout would make it to her horse, but if Karis were within 100 paces when the scout mounted, she wouldn't be mounted for long. Something dove out of the sky and pierced the ground not 5 paces behind the fleeing scout. She didn't even notice.
Damn!
Corvin had nearly hit a sprinting target at 250 paces. That close, and he couldn't have gotten just a little closer. The woman turned and angled more to the right. Corvin's second arrow missed by a good 15 paces, flying where she might have been if she'd run straight. Karis barreled on, heedless of the ground, hurdling tumbleweed and praying that she not step on the infrequent tough cactus that grew so low to the ground here that you never saw it until its spines stabbed through your shoes. And that wasn't as bad as the rattling snakes. At the speed Karis was running, of course, there would be no warning rattle, just a strike. She pushed harder. Maybe if she ran fast enough, even a striking snake might miss her. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Corvin's next arrow streak into view. The shot was more than 300 paces, now albeit with no wind, so Corvin was having to shoot halfway between the horizon and vertical, simply for the arrows to make the distance. But this shot looked perfect. It dove, and the scout crashed into the ground, full speed. Karis couldn't believe her eyes. An impossible shot. 300 paces at a running target? She cut left, heading straight for the woman. Almost as soon as Karis turned, she saw Corvin's arrow sticking out of the ground back where the scout had fallen. It hadn't impaled her. It had tripped her. Even as Karis saw it, she saw the woman standing, her head swiveling toward Karis. She looked shaken, her palms bloody, a cut down the side of her face, but the woman started running regardless. Karis had easily covered 100 of the 200 paces between them, and as the scout had to go from a dead stop to sprinting, Karis made up more than half of that. She wasn't even 30 paces back. No more arrows fell. They were out almost 400 paces now. Even with a yew longbow, this was an extreme distance. There was no way Corvin would risk an errant shot with Karis so close to their quarry. Karis fumbled with her necklace, trying to grab her eye caps. Even breaking stride that much gave the scout an edge, and she pulled away. Curse her, the woman ran like an antelope. But with the patience born of experience, Karis let her take the extra distance. Once she got the green and red eye caps on, the fight was over. She cracked apart the appropriate link of her necklace, watching the ground in front of her, ripped the luxin off, and slowed for a few steps to get the caps stuck perfectly around each eye socket. The scout cut hard left as the hill descended rapidly, shouting. Karis came after her, filling her right arm with red luxin and her left with green as she ran. The scout was shouting. To whom? Maybe she was shouting to her horse.
Sure she is, Karis.
In an instant, Caris was over the hill and barreling down the steep path straight into a camp. There were a dozen men waiting for her, at least two with nets, two with catch poles, cudgels, staves, swords sheathed, not wanting to kill, but capture. A trap. Caris felt sick horror, the shot like a fist in her gut. Like she was 16 again, her father dragging her to a boat, sailing away from Big Jasper. Her father's boat had sailed past the family mansion, where she'd secretly, she thought, agreed to meet Dazen. Her brothers were there, lying in wait. They'd said they were going to teach Dazen a lesson for trying to destroy their family. But she'd seen murder in their eyes. She had been standing on the deck when an explosion had blown out all the windows of her room on the second floor of the mansion. She saw figures limbed in fire, fighting. Something ripped off half the roof, and explosion followed explosion. Bodies were hurled 100 paces out into the water. Standing next to her on deck, her father paled.
"You said he was coming alone, you stupid slut! Look what you've done! He must have brought an army!"
Her father didn't strike her, just grabbed her head and made her watch what she couldn't have torn her eyes away from if she tried. In minutes, the only home she'd ever known was engulfed in flames. She'd been a child then. She'd been unable to think, unable to act. She wasn't a child any longer, and she had pools of rage to draw from that innocent hadn't known. Caris used the height disparity of coming down the steep trail to leap at the first of the two horsemen who were side by side. He was holding a catch pole in both hands, and he brought it up sideways, trying to block. He caught her extended foot, but she just let her kick collapse and slammed into him with both knees. Ribs crunched as she swept him out of his saddle. She rolled as she hit the ground, but had to catch herself with her right hand, which was holding her narrow ataghan, so she drafted a thin blade of green luxin from her left hand as she passed under the second horse. The blade passed through its belly easily. Caris was on her feet before the horse even reared in pain. She let the green luxin disintegrate as she charged one of the net men, switching her sword to her left hand. He was too stunned. He didn't move, not even as she lunged full length, stabbing at his face, her right hand flinging a weak arc of fire behind her for distraction. The net man still didn't move, and her lunge connected. The blade caught him between the eyes, skidded off the bone, and dove deep through his eye. Turning to follow the arc of fire she'd thrown, Caris saw a weighted net spinning toward her just as the arc of fire faded from the air. Perfect throw. But she waited. Waited, switching sword hands again, until the net was between her and a man swinging a staff overhead at her. With a snapping pop-pop, Caris shot out two horseshoes of green luxin. One whistled harmlessly through the twisting, expanding net, but though it missed the net, the horseshoe did catch the staff swinger in the cheek, blasting him off balance. The second horseshoe snagged the net as it passed through and whipped it back into several men, its leaden weights suddenly becoming a flail. The horse was rearing now, screaming in pain, a hideous sound. Its entrails spurted out in a bloody, ropey mass. But Caris barely heard it, barely saw it. She saw only chaos, and chaos was her friend. Chaos was her advantage when fighting these odds. Men were falling away from her on every side. Caris flung little balls of fire at the tents nearest her, blocking her view. Curse being short. Where was the man shouting orders? The tents went up in flames, but it didn't seem to faze anyone but Caris. Everyone was fleeing. She was just beginning to get a sense of how many men were in this camp. There were dozens of tents. Maybe 100 men? Orholm, she had to get out. Then she heard a thunderous roar. The ground around her feet jumped into the air as musket balls struck and the concussion of their fire rolled over her. She looked up and saw a wide half-circle of musketeers, at least 40 of them. Half were reloading in smooth, practiced motions, unhurried, well-trained. The other half had their muskets, still loaded, trained on Caris.
"The next volley takes your life, Caris Whiteoak," a man shouted.
He was lean, mounted, wearing rich garments that announced he was King Rask Haradur, if the smug expression on his face hadn't.
"The sword and the luxin, now," he said.
Caris looked at the semicircle of blasted dirt in front of her, trying to gauge the accuracy of the king's musketeers. Pretty damn good. They were only 20 paces away. It would take a miracle. King Haradul's armour was, of course, mirrored, and he had mirror men and drafters to his left and right. What about Corvin? If Corvin ran as fast as she had, he might get here at any time. Caris always lost track of time once fighting started. Maybe he'd already seen what she had gotten into. Either way, not even he could do anything against these odds. He certainly couldn't save Caris from 20 musketeers with an easy shot at her. Caris pulled off her eye caps and dropped them, and threw her sword away, and let the green and red dribble from her fingertips. Usually, when she let the Luxin go, she felt less wild, less angry. Not this time. "Galen," King Haradul said, gesturing to someone behind her. Caris was starting to turn when something heavy cracked her over the head.